Well, this morning, we close out our four-part series on John chapter 4, where Jesus had to go through Samaria to meet this woman at the well. This week, my wife, Lori, just before actually I put her on the train, she told me, she said, I need your help. I want to get the apples off the tree from the Rose Parsonage. You know, Todd and Joyce were called to serve a ministry in Minneapolis in August. Well, Pastor Todd and Joyce always plant a beautiful garden. It's about twice the size of our garden. And they left in August, and of course, they didn't have time to harvest anything. And so Joyce specifically asked that we would harvest it for them. What was on their hearts, do you suppose? They weren't asking that we box it up and ship it down there. And they weren't concerned that Lori and I are starving to death. But they had put a lot of labor of love into that garden, and they didn't want to see it go to waste. So Lori and I went out there, and we got about a bucket full of apples off the tree. I kind of wanted to just leave them for the deer, you know, anything to encourage the deer population. But we gathered up about a bucket of apples, but then we saw there was a whole row of broccoli that was ready to harvest and two rows of corn. So we filled the back of the blazer with bags of produce. This morning's conclusion to the Woman at the Well series makes a course change. In the previous words, the last 3 weeks, you saw that Jesus met this Samaritan woman. He knew exactly where she was spiritually. And you remember the first message was that God meets us where we are. And then he shows us our need. And then he brings us the words of life. But then the second thing that Jesus reminded us in this series is that nothing in this world truly satisfies. Nothing in this world truly satisfies, but that God provides us with living water, the true gospel, which not only satisfies our hearts and our souls here in this life, but will satisfy your soul throughout all eternity. And then last week we saw Jesus saying that times have changed. Worship has changed. No more ceremonies without fully understanding. Now God calls his people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, this morning, Jesus changes and he starts speaking directly to his disciples about what he expects from them. He's also speaking to you and to me if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he's telling us to open our eyes. Open our eyes and work in the harvest. God is calling us. God is calling each one of you to labor in the harvest. The scripture text is John 4. I'm going to back up a little bit to 27 where we left off last week. Jesus had told the woman, she knew the Messiah was coming, and Jesus told the woman, I who speak to you am he. And then in verse 27, the Bible says at this point his disciples came. You remember they were in the city buying food. They marveled that Jesus was talking to the woman, and yet no one interrupted him, saying, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Verse 28, the woman then leaves. She left her water pot and went her way into the city. And she goes to the men of the city and says, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and they came to Jesus. In the meantime, His disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus reminds us in this text, first of all, in these words that we just read, that he came for one purpose only. God revealed himself and came into this world as a man for one purpose only, and that is to save people, to save souls. But then God, or Jesus, goes on to say that he is calling each one of us to open our spiritual eyes. He says in verse 35, Do you not say, therefore, there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And herein lies the third point that Jesus makes for us this morning, and that is that each generation enters into the labors of those who went before them. Each generation must enter into the labor of those who went before them. But first of all, Jesus reminds his disciples, he came for one purpose, and that is to save people. While the woman went to the village to gather the elders, Jesus' disciples returned from the town with food. Now you remember it's noon, and they've been walking all day, and Jesus stopped at the well, to meet this woman. But you remember he asked her for a cup of water because he was thirsty. And no, he never did receive the cup of water. Not that we know of in the Bible. But he's hungry too. He is God, but he is also man. And his body had the same needs as your body does and mine. And so the disciples offer Jesus food, but he refuses it. In verse 34, he says, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Well, first of all, like all of Jesus' teaching, this comment is full of meaning. You know, when we read the words of our Lord, always keep in mind, these are the words of God who knows all things. He knows all things. First of all, these elders and the men of the city are coming to Jesus. The woman has gone to get them, and now they're coming down out of the city, walking on the trails, through the fields, heading for Jesus, and he knows it. Jesus was not going to put off ministering to these men by starting a meal. Imagine what had happened if they had broken bread and prayed and started to have a meal there at the well. The men coming from the city would have seen that and said, oh, this mysterious rabbi is eating. We're not going to bother him now. I guess we'll come back another time, maybe, when it's convenient. So Jesus could either satisfy his own hungry body, the needs of his flesh, or he could minister to these people. And Jesus decides, as he always does, to minister to the needs of others. Jesus also explains to his disciples what they and we should already know, but we forget. And it's key to understanding Jesus' call for us, for what we should do. We forget Jesus came for one purpose only, and that is to save souls. To do the will and the work of God was as necessary to Jesus' life as it is for you and me to eat. We've got to eat to live. For Jesus, doing God's will and his work, it literally defined his very existence. In fact, to do the will and the work of God is the only reason, it's the only reason Jesus came into this world. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:20, Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you. The very purpose of his incarnation, his existence both as man and as God, is tied directly and explicitly to the salvation of people. And this is a good time to remember that Christ died for all people, not just some people. There is no predestination or double predestination. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus died for each one, the most miserable soul you can find, the most unrepentant sinner, the most awful and wicked person. Christ shed his blood for him or her. But they need to come to Jesus. They need to receive that gift of salvation. Jesus says in John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe in Jesus whom he sent. And this is the will of God who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son of Man and believes in him may have everlasting life. Everyone who sees the Son of Man and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we could say, as the Bible says in many places, the will of God is nothing less than his loving kindness poured out to you. God's perfect agape love. Agape love is the love of higher purpose combined with action. God's agape love for all men, and God's desire for their salvation is his will. What's the work of God? The work of God is the redemption of mankind, which was finished by Jesus Christ on the cross. And so Jesus calls his disciples, and he calls for you and for me to open our eyes. Jesus speaks to his disciples there on that winter day, and to you and to me, and he says in verse 35, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Now it's December, and in Palestine, the planting occurs in late fall, and the seeds germinate through winter, and then they come through the ground, and then they're harvested, the wheat and barley is harvested in April. So as the disciples look around, the fields are green with all the young sprouts coming up through the earth. And that's why Jesus says, you see the fields and you say, in 4 months, it'll be time for the harvest. But Jesus sees the men coming down that path, you see. Those men from the city coming to him. And he says, behold. And that word, behold, whenever you see that word or read that word in the Bible, it always means God is saying, I'm going to show you something you can't understand by yourself. Jesus says, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes from those green fields. Lift them up and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Jesus wants his disciples, and that includes you and me, to see other people for what they are. They are precious souls that Jesus died for. and God's mighty work of redemption is finished, so that all is now ready. Now is the time for all people to hear the word and come into the harvest of heaven. And remember, this harvest is the only purpose for Jesus Christ. The harvest is the purpose of his life. Dear friends, he is telling us the harvest time is now. Each soul that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior is like ripe fruit sitting there in the garden. It's ready to be picked now. And you can't wait till later, because later will be too late. No one knows the hour or the day when life ends. But for many, it will end sooner than we think. It's so easy for us to see the physical world around us. You see the farms and the factories and the stores, the industry, the highways, the cars, politics. You even see the church buildings. Aren't they beautiful? And by the way, I give thanks to God for those steeples that rise up above our city. But do we see the people? Do we see the people whom God loves, whom Jesus came to save? Do we see where they're headed if they're not brought into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus calls each of us to lift up our eyes and see the needs of those people who are not saved. Christ died for him or her. You know this is true, just as Christ died for you. If you know Jesus, then you have new spiritual life, you have new spiritual eyes to see. And Jesus says, don't fix your gaze on the things of this world. Lift your gaze up. Lift up your eyes to the great need all around. And he says that each of us enters into the labor of those who have gone before. Some have sowed, some have harvested. God calls many laborers to sow the word, beginning all the way back to the Old Testament days. Noah sowed, Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi. Each generation planting the word of God, each generation reminding the next generation that God promised he would bring a Savior. And then John the Baptist sowing and reaping. And then Jesus sowing and reaping. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. The harvest began as soon as the work was finished on the cross, but the divine work or the divine harvest is such that it goes in both directions. Those who had trust in God throughout the generations before Christ were saved by Christ, just as the work of Christ on the cross reaches forward even to us today, 2,000 years later. You see, the work of God on the cross is a miracle to save souls. And Jesus says, he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. The word was planted down through the ages until, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son to finish the work of God. And now Jesus calls for his followers to bring that finished work to the lost souls all around us so that they may come into the harvest of heaven. In heaven, we know the Bible says the angels rejoice over one sinner who was brought to salvation, but they're not alone. The words of Jesus Christ reminds us that Noah is rejoicing, Moses is rejoicing, Adam is rejoicing. Each one labored in faith. Each one, many suffered, either to sow the word or to defend the church against Satan. Once you too were unsaved. But whether you were brought into the kingdom of heaven as a little child and grew up knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior always, or whether you came into the kingdom of heaven as an adult, either way, it was the living and true church proclaiming God's word that brought you into the harvest. Your parents, your grandparents, or a Christian friend once saw that you were in need, and they brought you the word of God. And verse 38 says, each generation enters into the work of those who preceded them. Each one rejoices in the harvest, both those who sow and those who reap. And so, Christian friends, Jesus calls you to labor in the harvest. Remember how important each living soul is to Jesus Christ and to the Father, and open your eyes to their need. And then ask God how you can help. You know, I'm not a farmer. But if there was a need on some man's farm and I went out there, I wouldn't just determine what I'm going to do. I'd probably do more harm than good. Instead, I would go to the farmer and say, what can I do? Show me what to do. And we must do the same thing. We must pray and ask God to show us what it is he would have us do. And by the way, this ties in with our Wednesday Bible study on spiritual gifts, Romans chapter 12. Maybe you're able to support world missions, maybe home missions. Whatever it is you can do, Jesus calls you to do. Not because your salvation depends upon it, but because others did this for you. And because that God has planted love in your heart, not only for him, but for your neighbor. We are able to help the harvest, ultimately, only because Christ died for each one. And this was his only purpose. So now, what is your purpose? May God guide each one as we labor with Christ. He is the Lord of the harvest, and may his name be praised. Our hymn.